Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Here we are once again, Sunday evening. Arrive with your brother Elohim. Well, we have a very interesting show for you today, but first we're going to talk about, as we always, we're going to talk about love. I'm not going to do the whole show on love, though, but I might come back to it a little later on, right? If we don't know how to love each other, we will not be able to come together as a group, as a family, as friends. We will always be at each other's throat, arguing about mostly nothing. You know, I know this is Super Bowl Sunday, but we're here live and in living color, okay? Since I'm not getting paid and I don't gamble, so I'm not really making any money on a bowl. But this is something that I like doing here. This is what works for me, you know? Trying to get a little bit of information out to whoever's listening out there in radio land about what's going on, about love, okay? Just remember, love is an act that makes God feel good. Love is an action word, so you're committing an act. When you commit this act, people bind themselves to you based on this act, okay? And the heart has hormones and everything else in it. So it's we need to really focus and try to practice how to love each other a little better, okay? Okay, now, this is our history. We're going to be doing history all this month. Maybe next week I'll get into a little bit of health that you guys can eat and be healthy and get on this age reduction diet that I'm on and start feeling a whole lot better like I do. Okay. Now, the question that's on the table is, how long did it take England to get out from under black rule? It took quite a while, you know, because England, we have ruled the whole planet, not just England and Russia and all that, and Scotland. The whole planet was under black domination, under black rule, okay? And what they're trying to do now is repeat what we have done. It took them 800 years to get out from under our rule. And they really not in a hurry to go back in that direction. That's why they have to fight about the immigrants and all that. Because they know as immigrants themselves, right now they are a minority. And it's because of the liberal policy of letting so many white immigrants in that they were able to gain upper hand as far as a total mass of people in order to make that work, okay? Now, those of you who are not listening on the radio, you can also get us in the chat room too, okay? You can get it on the internet and find us in the chat room, okay? Now, the main thing that we want to talk about is the fact that it took England 800 years to get out from under black rule. So, yeah, we ruled Britain. That's right. Blacks ruled Britain. They were called the Moors, but they were still black. And before them, they were ruled by Scotland, which we ruled Scotland. Okay, blacks ruled Scotland, too. I don't know if you knew that, but we ruled Scotland, we ruled Britain. We actually ruled the entire planet. We had the dominant sea power. Okay. We had strong armadas that canvassed the seas and made sure that the maritime laws and the trade was being taken care of properly, you know. They're not giving us our children's information in school, but they need to know this information. So that we're out there fighting, trying to get our freedom back. It's a process. It's a generational process, okay? It's not that what you do, and then if you don't get it done this generation, that's it. You have to begin to prepare your children for the struggle, prepare your children for the fight to be free. Freedom, what does freedom mean? Freedom means control. If you don't have control of your food, clothing, shelter, and security, you don't have freedom, okay? What you're having is an illusion. That's why the money don't stay in certain neighborhoods for so long a time, because they're not controlling their means of production. And that's what happened to the United States over the last 25 to 30 years, where we were losing our means of production and shipping it to places where we have cheaper labor so that the big boys can literally just make more money. And that's what's been going on. So if you lose the means of production, you lose a whole lot, okay? A lot of people don't realize what that means, but it means a lot when you lose the means of production. We go into the supermarket every day looking for food, looking for this and looking for that. I mean, we run around like it's just a normal thing. Like one day, there's not going to be food in those markets. What would happen if there's no food in the markets? We'd be in trouble. I mean, there's a lot of food out there in the parks. Most people don't know how to eat, but there's a lot of food out there in those parks. You can pump a tent out there and live good. But then wintertime comes, okay? Now, there's and wintertime comes. So when wintertime comes, that's my grandson. He wants to come in and take one of my tablets from me. I'm on the radio right now, okay? So when wintertime comes, and you're on the in the woods, unless you know how to, in the summertime, dry some of the food, and learn how to bury it where you can keep it safe, a little salt and stuff around and things like that there, so that the bugs and stuff won't get it, you'll have food going through the winter. But everybody don't know that. So I'm just throwing that out there. I know, I think I see at least one person online. I think that's literally about how to preserve some food in the wintertime if you don't have a refrigerator, you know what I mean? So now I'm getting off track. My grandson's distracting me just a little bit. Okay, we have a hand up right here, so let me go right to it. I think that's Brother Matt. Yeah, okay. And because he knows quite a bit about that type of stuff, about food and all that. Brother Matt, your mic is open.
Good evening. Good evening, brother. I'm fine, thank you. Listen, I do know a lot about preserving food, and I suggest while I'm talking about it, that you check the number that you sent out. I think it may be the wrong one. I had to go back to another day. Because when I called the number you sent out today, I got a security company. I don't know if it was a fluke, but you might check it out. And I'll talk until you come back
it's a little too late for me to check it now. So whatever it is,
okay.
It is what it is. You know.
Very well. Very well. Okay. All right. Yeah. Then let's see. Going. I agree with you that it's important that we know how to preserve food by drying, by dehydrating vegetables, so that in the winter and at other times they can be rehydrated. And just to give an example, we're talking about beans and peas. And a way of preserving root crops is to put them in a cold cellar, or put sweet potatoes and white potatoes, for instance, can be partially buried in the yard. I recall the way that it was done was that pine straw and other leaves were gathered from the forest and put in a circle about 6 inches or more thick, and then the potatoes were piled on top of it in the shape of a cone, and then leaves and straw were put on top of the pile of potatoes, 6 inches or more, and then on top of that was packed dirt, and so with the shape of it, rain would roll right off, and with the depth of the straw that the potatoes were resting on was such that the rain would roll right off of the potato bank, as we referred to it, and go away from the bottom of the pile. As a result, an opening could be dug by hand or with a little hand tool in the bank, and I can remember many times reaching in and getting out the number of potatoes that my grandmother had instructed me to get for a meal for that day, and then stuffing the whole bag full of straw and covering it back over so that it wouldn't freeze, and also to protect it from rain if it should rain. And so that is one method that can be used for turnips, for potatoes, both sweet and Irish potatoes. And another way of drying food was the peanuts were dug from the ground and stacked on a pole in the field in a manner that would allow them to have air circulated so that they could dry out over the winter, and peanuts could be harvested from the peanut stack anytime that you needed them.
That's very interesting. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have a refrigerator, no problem.
Oh, it's true.
Food and stuff, and make sure it works out okay, you know? So, and that's what I'm saying. If these are little tidbits that you need to learn just in case you go to the supermarket with your little credit card, no food in there, you know? And you need to do something about that, you know? So we need to think about that. And that's what we talk about freedom, by having control, being in control of your means of production. If you're not in control of your means of production, you are really in big trouble. And that's what I was mentioning, that the money stays in certain neighborhoods, don't stay in certain neighborhoods, because they're not producing any dollar tax, you know? And we need to do more of that, you know? Now, and then I was just trying to let you know that just because we're not getting out of this situation overnight, that it's a generational struggle, and you need to prepare your children to continue what you're doing. And Matt, I did check that number while you were on the line, and I got the three mixed up with the two. Believe it or not.
Yes, sir.
I've been up since 3 o'clock. Okay. Since 3 o'clock yesterday morning. So, unbelievable, huh? But I guess some of the other people did, like you did, check the lines, and they're still calling in, which is good. Those that are that be here every Sunday, they pretty much know the number, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, sir.
I guess they have to. I'm a little tired, so I'm still foaming at the mouth here. But the main thing I really wanted to talk about, Matt, was The Continental Congress. I tried to do some research on the Constitution that they drew up, the Bill of Rights that they drew up. They will not let me find it. They will not print. I can't find. I just got one YouTube video where the white boy was talking, and he accidentally mentioned that the Bill of Rights. So yeah, the first Continental Congress, they actually made the Bill of Rights, and then he caught himself and shut up. He stopped talking. I said, "Go ahead, tell me the rest of it." He didn't want to mention the Constitution, but he was going to say it. They had the information. They know that George Washington and the boys didn't actually write the first physical Constitution. That President Hayes and them did that, you know. And when I went to then I'm looking up the president, and they got him looking almost European. But in reality, when I found his real picture, he was very dark skinned. He was a dark skinned African, you know, and you know, but they don't try to portray that. They don't try to show that, you know, and they don't want us to know that the government was already in place when George Washington and them took over. They didn't start. That's the biggest thing that I want people to get into their mind. They did not start the government. The black presidents, and there was some Moors, and there was a few other. Actually, the presidents the president didn't last for 8 years. Only lasted a couple of years, and there was a couple of other black presidents that took over after President Hayes. I was trying to get more clarity on that, but I couldn't find the brother that was on Sarnetta TV that was giving out the information, you know. There's so much information that they're not giving us about what's going on, you know. Because he was the only black president back to doing the first Continental Congress. So when I checked on the internet, they started the second Continental Congress when George Washington and them took over. Because they got first Continental Congress. Now they got a second Continental Congress. That's the one they pushed in history. And a number of white folks in that one. And when I look at the first Continental Congress, all the pictures look white on that one as well. They absolutely did not want us to know our history, because you have to remember, we ruled the entire planet, and they were under our rule, not for just a few hundred years. Thousands of years they were under our rule, you know? And they didn't actually get out from under our rule until they got smart enough to say, well, we can't beat these guys with the methods that we're using. So we have to go in to where they are and be nice, you know, suck up to these people and find out what they're teaching. Learn what learn their tactics and their strategy and everything else. And what the main thing that they learned was how to set up a military, because they didn't know how to set up a military. You see what I'm saying? And most of the African continent didn't have professional military. That wasn't until, what was his name? Means, they're calling it Means or Norma. They got two names. They got a history so confused, we don't know the names of the people. They got two different names for the same guy. Some call him Means, some call him Norma. But he was the king of the South, of Kemet. And he was, when he set up the first republic, that's what a republic is. A republic is a government that has a professional standing army. And that's the first time that happened was in Kemet, because he was fighting the king of the South, right, for Kemet, and he wanted to unite Kemet. Now, guess what the king of the South's name was? They called him the Scorpion King. They made a movie about the guy.
The Scorpion King. How about that?
Yeah, that's what he was called, the Scorpion King. Do you remember the brother's name that played the lead in that on Scorpion King? I think it was a wrestler or something, and he made a couple of movies, Walking Tall and a few other movies. I can't think of his name.
Okay, all right.
It'll come to you in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he played with Scorpion King. Now, here's the subliminal part, right? The black guy was Scorpion King, but they had him fighting a white guy. Now, subliminally, the other guy was a black guy from the other guy was mean that the Scorpion King was fighting. But since we don't know our history, they threw the white boy in there, and they fighting over the land. I don't think they even called it Kemet. They didn't call it Egypt for none of that. They was away from all of that. They just called him Scorpion King. Going through the history without us even realizing that they're going through our history, subliminally taking our history over. See what I'm saying?
Go
ahead.
Now, I was going to ask you, do you think that the Europeans are acutely aware of how important it is to form a belief system among them? Don't they think that it's extremely important to teach their children that they were destined to rule? And in so doing, their children believe it. And then they act like it, and as a result, they rule. And they think that it's important enough that they had to enhance what they taught and what they still teach their children. They even lie and have assassinated anyone who attempted to shed some real light on the fact that the story that they have been given. That they have been perpetuating is our story, and that they stole it from us. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you go back and do the little research, everything they got, they stole from the black community. Everything. And all of the new invention that's coming out now is coming out of the black community. They're not inventing anything. And they're dying off. They're having problems with this 3-meal-a-day diet because it's not if you adhere to the 3-meal-a-day diet like you're supposed to, your ability to make children will decrease. And that's what's happening to them. I've on YouTube, they had 10 countries, 10 European countries that will pay you money to come and move there and marry their women. They're looking for some people to marry their women. There's not enough men around over there. And Russia, there's whole cities that's empty because there's nobody there. And China's having a problem too because they was pushing that one person policy for so long. They changed it now. They said you can have more children. But the key to our survival on a planet is the females. Military tactics. Alright? This is why going against, taking us away from our culture actually hurts us with that one man, one female thing. That's actually no good for our culture. Because if I got 5 wives and you got 1, I'm making 5 babies for your 1. So as time goes on, my army's going to be 5 times bigger than yours, and we coming to get you, buddy. You know what I mean? And that's how the whole thing works, you know?
That's right.
So as a military strategy, the men had more than one wife. Now, you say, well, what about equality for the female? If a woman had 5 husbands, once she gets pregnant, that's it. Ain't but one baby coming from them 5 husbands. Or unless she had twins, you know, because there's so much work going on there.
Right.
But ain't but one baby coming out of there, you know? And when the 5 men die off, there's a lack of children to replace the men, replace the 5 men that you actually have. But when with the one guy with 5 women, there's not a lack of women or babies to replace him, you know? And it's a win-win situation for the culture, for the planet, and everything else. And I think the reason why the Bible says that homosexuality leads to destruction because 2 men ain't making no babies. The whole thing depends on the babies coming through. And now I'm getting to one little secret of the book. It says that if you can eat from the tree of life, you'll have everlasting life. You know what I'm saying? So now they've been going crazy trying to figure out what the tree of life is. But the tree of life is your children. If you can eat from what your children produce, you'll have everlasting life. You'll go on and on and on and on. But if your children aren't producing, because your children are actually the tree of life, they just don't know how to read the books. See what I'm saying? And that's the danger about homosexuality. You know what I'm saying? Gay is something else, but that's the danger about homosexuality. I got people that look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them, nobody's actually born homosexual. What? Now, how are you going to say between the DNA and the cell phone, Lord? Here we go. I don't know why I opened my mouth.
No, if you don't tell it like it is, for fear of political correctness, then we keep on seeing it the way that we have been previously taught, and let's say how does that thing go about insanity? Is doing the same thing and expecting a different result?
Absolutely.
If we don't tell the story differently than it's been told, then we will remain in the same position that we have been in while the story is being told. And so you have to tell it like it is, and forget about the politics of it, because we realize that the reason that we believe what we believe is because we have been taught to believe what we believe. And now, as you are uncovering some of the tricks that have been played on us and the deceptions that we have been given, we have to pass the knowledge on. Otherwise, nothing is going to change if we keep on doing the same thing that we've been doing, believing the same thing we've always believed. Nothing is going to change.
My thoughts exactly. And if you think in terms of what did the Europeans do when they came here and found the country already occupied? Did they pick a sign and walk around talking about, we want a piece of this, and let us in and give us more? They didn't do that. They came here with their military and took what they wanted. And
that's right.
That's how they roll. That's why I'm looking at the people out there with the marching and the signs and all that. Now that Trump done took control, because he hired all the people that owns the news station, now he done took control of the media. When the last time we heard about Black Lives Matter?
How about
you know
that?
What I mean? All the marching and all that about the children that they murdered in the street and all that, you're not hearing anything, because there's no actual control. And that brings us into the next question that we're dealing with here is, since blacks started this country, why don't we step up and run it? Why don't we begin knowing that it's our, see, most blacks have been so brainwashed, they don't think it's theirs.
Brother Elohim, it's perfectly normal for us to think that it is theirs, because you know who they determine what we are taught in our history classes. They determine what we are led to believe happened to us. We are taught to believe that they are actually supreme, that they are superior, that they have a God-given right to subdue and civilize the world. when you speak of what did they do when they come here, I think it, we need to know that within a few years after the arrival of the Europeans, that they killed off 90% of the indigenous population. In other words, they killed 9 out of every 10 of our ancestors. 90 out of every 100, and 900 out of every 1,000 in a matter of a few years. Through disease and war and slavery, they had reduced our population by 90%. And of course we know something about the Jim Crow laws that prevented us from knowing how to read. But ever since then they have controlled what we have been allowed to know about ourselves. They censor the school books and determine which ones are safe for us to know. And those, of course, are the ones that perpetuate the European ideal and the supremacy of the European. And we don't know that. And when we turn our children over to them, so that they can be taught just what we were taught, that we're fortunate to have had them come over and bring us from Africa and civilize us. They don't make a lot of noise about the fact that we were already here, and that they killed 9 out of every 10 of us, and that they brought some of our ancestors from Africa, and then spread the myth that we all came from Africa, therefore we have no claim to the real estate that's always been here and was under the control of our ancestors before the Europeans came.
Right. So, on that note, we have reached my commercial time. We went past half an hour. Time flies when you're having fun. So what I want to do, I want to take a minute here and just let everybody know, just do my little shout-out and let everybody know if they want to end on a conversation, all you have to do is press 1. And that'll show me that your hand is up and let me know that you have something to say. You want to make a comment. And I'll let you in right away, because I know once you put your hand up, you want to talk right then. You want to wait 20 minutes to get away. Because the conversations move and develop into something else. So when you put that hand up, I'm going to let you in right away. So be ready to talk once you put your hand up, because I'm coming after you, okay? And right now I'd like to do a little commercial, give a little shout-out for different people who are struggling, trying to do things. And, you know, we talk the talk, so we have to walk the walk. We have to support each other and try to make sure that the others know what's going on and what we're doing, okay? This is Elohim Radio Show. We're here every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m., okay? I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'm going to make sure I mention everybody, okay? Because it is getting longer. It's getting longer and longer. I have to knock somebody else here, you know? Okay, and the call-in number for the radio show is 516-453-9230. I did put the wrong number out there. I noticed that half the calls are missing. But they'll check back in next week. I thought it was just called the Super Bowl, because normally the Super Bowl is pretty full. But it's okay. We'll catch up with everybody next week. And we use the last 4 digits of your number to let you know once you put your hand up that we're talking to you. We won't mention your name unless you want us to, okay? Okay, like I said, we're here every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m., okay? And I have a CD on the market. It's called Jesus is Coming, and you can catch it on YouTube. And if you want to listen to the tracks, catch it on YouTube. And you can call this number if you want to find out more about the CD. You can go to 215-977-0777, okay? I do talk about Jesus a lot because Yahshua Ben Bandera was a real guy. You can research his history, okay? There was no Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. There was no Jesus Christ. There was a Jesus, the Christ. Christ is a title, not a last name. Because if you look for Jesus Christ, once you get past Constantine, you're not going to find anything. But if you research under Yahshua ben Pandera, you can go all the way back to Egypt, which is where he was born. They got so many lies out there. Well, I say misinformation. I don't want to be like Donald Trump calling people liars. But if you got there's so much misinformation out there, and that the man was born in Egypt. He'd come from a prominent family. They had been there at temples and everything else in Kemet, okay, named after the man. So, yes, he was here. There was a real Yahshua Ben Pandera, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2. It's in CD form. I pulled the book for him, but it's in CD form. If you want more information about the book, you just call 977-0777. That's from 9 to 5. I have a couple other books on the market that I'm going to introduce to the market soon, but not right now. But if you call about them, I do have some printed up that you might get a couple of copies of. Tyrannical Scriptures Part 1, Tyrannical Scriptures Complete Version, okay? Also, I'm in the gold business. Now that I think about it, we have to enter into the market because I'm not making enough money. And I need the millions. These guys that are working in the industry, working in the market, I'm trying to figure out how they walk around with $2,000 suits and spending $5,000 a month for an apartment. And you know what I mean? And we can barely afford a $150,000 house. So something's wrong with this picture. And I think it's because we're not working the market. So I'm learning how to work the markets in reference to dealing with the coin exchanges because it's an emerging technology. And that blockchain technology is amazing. Those of you who don't know about it, you need to go out there and read it and find out about it, okay? And if you want to know more about the gold and how you can take the gold and make money now, right now they have a deal going right now that if you have $500 and put in, by July, that $500 turned into $10,000 to $13,000, guaranteed, okay? So, so you need to find out more about it. If you want to just get the information, I can get you set up where you can get the information where it won't cost you anything, okay? And I would like to give a shout-out to Horace Butler for his Black History book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands my history, and he helps fill in the missing pieces. He had proof about us being here. We were always here. And he has evidence and everything, documents to show you that was so, okay? Also, we have the Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Matt, who you've just been listening to for a minute. He's actually been co-hosting the show here for today. How about that? It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. The call-in number is 319-527-6199. I'd like to give a shout-out to 7752. He's on every morning at 9 a.m. and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So you give him a call at the same number, 319-427-5199. I would like to also give a shout-out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube under the name of Kemetria 11. Last week I didn't have it right. Almost missed her name completely. Kemetria 11, that's where I am, sister, and she's done a pretty good job. She has a thing I call a spoken word. So if you get a chance, go on to Kemetria 11 on YouTube and check her out, okay? I also like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. I haven't caught a show in a while because about that time I'm actually done because I get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And her call-in number is 347-215-8040. And you can also get on her website, NikkiLoveWunam.com, okay? We also have at the UNIACL 16th and 16th morning, that's in Philadelphia, 3 p.m. Sunday. If you want to know more about them, call Brother Kabir at 267-513-8789. To contact the international spokesman for the UNIA, just call 646-807-6502. In fact, next week, I'm going to dedicate some time to talking about the UNIA. And allow them to go because some things going on right now that I think maybe the general public need to know. So I'm going to open up the mics and let those brothers go at it for a few minutes in the Yoda, okay? Now, we got our RBT Industries. They make design and clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, call 609-638-5828, okay? We have a new listener who has a security company. That number is 236-988-8638, okay? And he also has a web address. If you call that number, you can get it from him. I was hoping he'd be on the line, but with the number I gave out, he's probably watching the Super Bowl too now. Maxie, he got New York when I gave the number I gave him. I would like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton. He has 6 CDs on the market. So if you want to find out more information about Thomas Thornton, just call his number, 267-259-4077. I'm moving a little quickly here because well, we're kind of short on time. We've got 20 more minutes left. I'd like to give a shout-out to Taylor Tots Learning Academy, LLC. I'm kind of sticking my chest out because that's my daughter's business. She just started her business, and she's a licensed and certified. She's a registered nurse who is currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. You go, girl. Taylor for Tots has before and after school services in the West Philadelphia area. So for the best quality children's service, call 610-68-8352 from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., okay? That's Monday to Friday. And the email is taylortotslearningacademy@gmail.com. The Instagram number is taylor_tots_LA, okay? Boy, that's a mouthful. I'm going to have to make up a recording on this here. I also like to give a shout-out for residential naturopathic healers and doctors. Dr. Paul, his number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these specialists, you deserve what you get. No, nobody really deserves to be sick. So just give these guys a call. And don't worry, you call these guys, you will be healthy. Okay. I think I'm going to put it. I got all this recording equipment here. I make the CDs and everything else. And I talk this show with no music and nothing behind every week, the commercial. So maybe I'll make up a commercial with some music and have it sound pretty good. Get a couple female voices on there or something, you know. Okay. Where were we? Let me bring this screen down here and get back to where we were. Where are we here? We're at I've got another 20 minutes, okay? And my grandchildren want to play. They miss me. They don't see me that much. This is the first Saturday that I spent, this first time I actually spent a whole day at my daughter's house. I stayed here for the night, you know? Okay, so we're at the, let's just go to the next question, okay? The next question is, what is racism, okay? That's a good question. Because a lot of the groups, especially the black groups, have actually become racist, have become the very type of racist that they hate. They don't like white racism, but they become black racist, you know? And a lot of times you think it's about the money, but I think it's a mindset, you know? And once you get into the wrong mindset, and you've been beat up and abused so much, you know, you really have it in for the guys that's been doing the abusing, you know? So that's the next question on the board. Do you have a comment on that, or what you think racism is, Brother Matt? There's a couple people on the line, too. Well I don't put nobody's numbers out there.
Brother Elohim, I do have an opinion I think that it's important for us to recognize that there is a difference between prejudice and racism. Prejudice means essentially that you have made up your mind on a subject before knowing all of the information involved. Wherein racism is involves the power to of one race to to dictate over another race, and it's been said by some philosophers that we African Americans, Negroes, colored people, people of color, Afro Americans, Native Americans, Aborigines, we don't have the power to be racist. What we have is the power to fight back against the racism that has been practiced on us and continues to be practiced. But we don't have the power to dominate the people who have dominated us. We can't be racist. We can be prejudiced, and it's very difficult for us not to be prejudiced, because we remember and are aware of the things that have been done detrimentally toward us, and we feel some kind of way about it, but that's not racism. That is prejudgment in some cases, and is very different from racism. We are not dominating anybody. What we're trying to do essentially is to get the dominant foot off of our neck that has been on it for the better part of 500 years. And so that's my opinion when it comes to racism.
Okay, I could chew that around for a minute, okay? We've got about 10-12 minutes left. I'd like to chew that around for a minute. Power comes in many forms, okay? And if you think of military power, now financial is a power as well. We have enough financial power to make change or to actually be racist on a certain platform, okay? Whereas we take our money and spend it only on the people that we feel as though are part of our race. That's power. And that will constitute us as being racist. So we won't spend money with a certain group of people because we know of their history or whatever. So we are practicing racism on this group, mainly because the group hasn't practiced it on us. So that's a form of racism connected to power. Now, people are the actual power of the government. So when you go in, like when you have power in your hands with that voting ballot, and with that power, you can actually create and manifest change. You know, see, that's another form of power. So there's different forms of power. I'm agreeing with you about the power, but there's different forms of power that people do have, but they don't exercise it. I hear religious people talking about we don't vote. See what I'm saying? That's the only power they actually have is the vote, and they won't use it.
Indeed.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, Brother Elohim, when you say that we have economic power,
I didn't say economic. I didn't use that word. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
I said we have financial power. There's a difference between financial power and economic power. That's one of the reasons why we don't have the means to build the schools and all the stuff that we need, because we don't have economic power. We have financial power.
Very good. I think that it's important for you to make that distinction, because just as many of us equate racism and prejudice, many of us would equate finance and economics, and so I think more time needs to be spent on making the distinction and fostering an understanding of what is meant when you use the term finance, and what is different when you use the term economics. And so when you say that when you say that we have the financial power, I have to wonder if that would be the correct way of saying that we handle a lot of money, but we don't have power because we don't use it to further our cause. We handle our money as consumers when we don't trade among ourselves and when we don't manufacture our own products and when we don't trade among ourselves and when we don't buy from the businesses of our own people. And so I think I'll let you speak to that. I might need to be corrected.
We actually on the same page here. See what I'm saying? See now the religion of Utah. I forget the name of the religion. The ones that went to Utah. They have financial power, but they didn't have economic power. So what they did, they went to Utah and took over the whole state. They took over the Mormons.
They had financial power. Right.
But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So they needed economic power. Now, economics is residual income, where you own property and buildings and all that stuff, where that money's coming back to you as a group. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can actually use it to build and do better. So we have plenty of financial power. Like I think you say on this show every week that we would be the fourth or fifth largest richest country in the world.
We would be the 17th richest nation in the world if we used the financial potential that we have. The money that we handle would make us the 17th richest nation in the world.
Right. So if we use that financial power in a racist manner, we would move towards economic power. And once we move towards economic power, using it in a racist manner, our group will begin to prosper. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll block any other group from coming into our circle using that power that we have. See, that's racism. We're keeping the other groups out. So, but then that's how most groups over the last 100 years have built up their communities. By circling a wagon, so to speak, isolating themselves and using all of their financial power and go back in on itself. I think that's what happened with Moses. See what I'm saying? When he set up the centralized banking system, nobody but the Hebrews could come into that community and do anything. You know what I'm saying? Without them getting profit or money from whatever they're doing, if they're going to do something with that Hebrew community. You know what I'm saying? And by them, once he began to get the financial power, then Moses started setting up buildings and military and all that stuff, and the Hebrews became very powerful. Those 12 tribes became very, very powerful with that type of economic structure, you know? So there's many forms of power, that's what I'm saying. So when you mention the term, we don't have the power, we do have the power, but we're not focusing the power, like you say. We're not spending our money the way we're supposed to spend. You check out what LeBron James is doing. That is absolutely ridiculous what this guy's spending his money on. I just can't believe what this guy's buying out there, you know? And a lot of the sports figures are doing the same thing. And not just the black sports figures. White sports figures are doing the same thing. See, another thing we make the mistake of, we think this is a black-white issue, and it's not. It's about power. And you have as many white folks without power as you do black folks. Now, they make it seem like all of the negative and racist attention is on us, but it's not, because they're pushing the same thing on white folks as well. What they call them, poor white trash, and they got names for them out there. Where they treat them, some of them, worse than they treat black people. So it's about the 1% maintaining their power.
Brother Elohim, Brother Elohim, I would agree with you. But I would ask you to consider that we are led to believe whatever is approved by the Europeans.
Absolutely.
And they have sort of stood in the way of our gaining power by accusing those of us who are fighting back as reverse racism.
That's right.
So they have made us believe that racism is bad, and that they recognize it as being bad, but we are guilty of the same thing they would like for us to believe. And we have to be aware that this is a way of turning the tables on us and making us avoid the appearance of reverse racism, as if there's such a thing, which there isn't. There's no reverse racism. It's a matter of our becoming aware of what they are doing to us and trying to slow it down and maybe even reverse it. But it's not reverse violence. If somebody's beating up on you and you start to protect yourself, and in the process of protecting yourself, you might have to knock his head clean off. That's not reverse violence. That's self defense. That's common.
Yeah, but see, you're getting into the semantics, which is what they want you to do. Yeah, it's reverse violence. Somebody hit me, I'm a reverse it on them. Bam, that's reverse violence. You put racism
indeed
on me, I'm a reverse the issue. I'm putting racism on you. Yes, it's reverse racism. But see, here's the thing, that don't solve the problem. See, that's what I'm saying. And what we're doing out there with the marching and the demonstration and the groups, it's not solving the problem. See, I don't remember the Mormons out there marching with nobody. I don't remember Mormons out there with no picket signs. See what I'm saying?
Right.
They are using the system to gain power. That's what we need to do. We need to use the doggone system. It's right here. Money is everywhere.
Right.
We want our broke because we're fighting the system that we created. That's the problem. That's why the system is so good, because it's our system. We got to do like Obama did. You know what I mean? Obama said, wait a minute, I'm going to take their Medicare and put my name on it. And I know they ain't going to come up with nothing better, because they came up with that one the first place. You know what I mean?
Do we need to be aware of the difference between the Mormons and us? Do we need to be aware that the Mormons did not suffer under the legacy of slavery for 500 years?
Mac, that's the hype. That's what I'm saying. That's the hype. You follow what I'm saying? The white boy been under our rule for thousands of years. It took the Britain and Scotland 800 years to get out from under Moorish rule. That's the hype. You understand what I'm saying? They done been through some stuff too. So every race on this planet has been through a particular Holocaust. All of them. And the Yiddish up there, when they come through Russia and all that stuff, they did some horrible stuff to those people up there. They went through Holocaust. That's why they hate the Jews up there. They're not really Jews. They're Yiddish, coming from the Campbell line. And that's why they hate them, because of what they did, starving people, taking the money. Every race has been through what we have been through, maybe not as bad on a larger scale because there's so many of us. I'm just saying, but every race has been through that. The thing is, the system is here, and the system will work for you. The system will work for you if you work it. And right now, we're fighting the system. And that's the wrong way to go. We have to take control over the system and make the system work for us. We have financial power, right? Now we have to begin to figure out how to take this financial power and turn it into economic power. Once it turns into economic power, we can start building our militias. See what I'm saying? So when the cops roll up on somebody, we got a militia to do something about it. Right now, we're not using the system. That's what I'm saying. And you talk to a lot of these religious institutions that telling their people don't vote. Why would you tell somebody, don't use the only power that you got? So I'm going to let you have the last word back.
The last word would be, Brother Elohim, I'm glad that you are there for us to bring up these subjects and to give us some insight as to the size and shape and color of the force that we're up against. I'm glad that you're there, and as my grandfather would say, I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you calling in today, because this is Super Bowl Sunday, and I sent out the wrong number. Oh my God, we still got quite a few people on the line. Well, a lot of people on the line, they don't say anything, they just be listening, which is good, and I appreciate you guys that are there listening, especially on Super Bowl Sunday. So with that, we're going to close out. We're a little bit past the time here. And thank you again, Brother Mac, for chiming in. And we will see you, or we will talk to you next Sunday. Remember, love is the act that makes others feel good. If you ain't making somebody feel good, you're not loving the person that either you're with, your friend, your cousin, your aunt, your boyfriend, your whoever. All right. Much love, guys. Love you.
Much love. Ready forward.